Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You are listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's a Saturday night. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 p.m. Central Time. And we get a chance to share a microphone with a great gentleman. His name is Scott Johnson. For all those people that have never heard the story before, I know we have first-time listeners all the time. Several years ago, matter of fact, in August of 2000, I guess, 3 years ago, so whatever that would be, 15, I did a radio show with a gentleman named Roger Van Vlissingen. And Roger was writing, and still does occasionally, for a website called SeekingAlpha.com. And SeekingAlpha.com is kind of a smart website where people are writing stuff relative to topics, many times having something to do with stock markets. So I was watching Roger Van Vlissingen write articles about Vima and MLM companies and Herbalife specifically and a few others. And I said, you know, this gentleman's pretty smart, but he's really critical about MLM. So I did what most people never do. I picked up the phone and called him. I said, most people, our friend Scott Johnson, who's on the phone with us right now, is like me in many regards, and that was one because he called me. But back to Roger. I picked up the phone and I said, listen, you know, you're a critic of MLM. You make some very valid points. I think your points are very valid, and a lot of the points that I make, I'm still pro-MLM because at least maybe I'm delusional. But because I grew up in a direct sales background and I know how to sell and I know how to train a sales force and we actually, you know, we know how to do these things, I may be a little bit more positive on the MLM side. So I invited him to come on a radio show. By coincidence, that week, Vima was shut down by the FTC using a temporary restraining order. And there was a lot of really great information and education for Vima. Now, BK Barreco, the owner of Vima and other people associated with Vima, probably wouldn't like me to use the term great relative to that because there was really nothing great about it for them. But for example purposes, it was a really nice example. Roger brought a gentleman named E. Robert Smith, who wrote a book. I forget the name of the book, but just good guys, and you can listen to it again on Building Fortunes Radio. As a result of that radio show, I got a phone call, just like the type of phone call that I would normally make, but I was on the receiving end, and it was Scott Johnson. He said, you know, Peter, I listened to that radio show, and there was something that a lot of people don't talk about, and that was the tool scam associated with Vima and network marketing companies. And it looks like there's a blind spot for the FTC on that specifically. Now, because I had been associated with Amway several times, and I quit Amway several times because of my perceived concept that they had a tool scam. I thought more people were making more money on tools than they were on the business. I was somewhat educated by what Scott said by the tool scam. So we had a really nice conversation. I invited him to be on our radio show. You know, how much are we going to be able to talk about the same thing, tools? I said, you know, maybe we'll do two or three radio shows and, you know, we'll be able to point people in that general direction. And then what I found was Scott really studied the industry, and it wasn't just about tools. So we would strike up conversations about what else was going on. And trust me on this one, our industry gives us plenty of new material so we can run this radio show like forever. So we've been doing this for 3 years now in August, relative to the things that happen in network marketing. And as we jump down the rabbit hole on some of the topics, like we will on some of the ones you'll hear about tonight, you can see that there's a lot of similarities and lessons to learn. Now, I'm still delusional in reference to my potential positive attitude that there could be network marketing done the right way, but I'll share with you every day I hear about another example and watch the industry shift in the wrong direction, so it's harder and harder, if you will, running upstream gets a little bit harder. It feels like the water is flowing in the wrong direction. So we're constantly fighting. Now, I've chosen to be able to work from home, and I know many of you are trying to do the same thing as well. So I think I will die with that glimmer of hope ever, the idea that it could be done the right way and that some people might be doing it the right way, and we work with lots of really great people. But, boy, do you have to really fight upstream against the con men, the psychopaths, the sociopaths, everything that's associated with this industry, and you'll hear a few of those things as we talk about some issues today. So Scott's got a couple of really great websites. One of them is stoptheamwaytoolscam.wordpress.com. That's stoptheamwaytoolscam.wordpress.com. That'll lead you to believe that that's how we got started with stopping the Amway tool scam. And then the other one is called All MLM Facts. And for Trayvon James, I just have to make sure that you spell facts, F-A-C-T-S, because Trayvon James, who is pretty much someone who falls into the wrong side of the law, in my humble opinion, spells facts, F-A-X, even when he means F-A-C-T-S. So we want to make sure that even Trayvon, who probably needs to listen to our radio show, can spell it the right way. So it'd be allmlmfacts.org. So Scott Johnson, thanks for being here again on the weekend. And again, thanks a million. Over to you.
Well, Peter, thanks for having me again. I wish I could be Trayvon for a day. It would just be quite an experience, I'm sure.
Yeah, you need a mental break.
For people that haven't been tuning in, he was involved in one of those cryptocurrencies. I'm trying to remember which one.
BitConnect.
I believe it. Is it totally defunct now, at least in the United States and Canada, or is it still squirming around
somewhere?
It
should be. I think they're done. I think they're still trying to do an ICO one way or another, but I think they're more or less done.
Right. Yep. Yeah, you're right. I mean, we never run out of material for this show. We were just talking about some of the crazy stuff that goes on, not just in MLM, but just in life in general that's out there in the news. It's just some crazy stuff. So as you mentioned, yes, I was in Amway. I was in Amway for a dozen years actively, thinking that I was building a legitimate business until I found out from my upline Diamond, who got kicked out of Amway, his name was Bruce Anderson, that he was making more money, and we're talking at least twice as much, from the tools. And the tools are things like the various meetings, you know, small, medium, and large meetings, the books they sell, the tapes and now it's CDs and MP3 downloads that they sell to their downline, the voicemail, the website access. There's all these different things. There's probably even more by now since I've not been involved in several years. But for 4 years after that dozen years, I thought, gee, I think I can develop a legitimate Amway business. And it turns out that at every turn I was being resisted, not so much by my upline, because most of them got kicked out a couple years after I found out about the tool scam for, again, a completely different reason. And then the Amway Corporation got in my way. They just refused to help me in any way. And it just got to be so frustrating that, you know, finally I just decided, well, I also found out through research that Amway is actually in on this tool scam. Not that they're selling the tools or making a profit off of them directly. I don't believe they are. They could be, but I don't believe they are. But what the tools do for Amway is keep people in longer, which means they're buying more products, which means Amway's making more money. So it's all kind of a cabal between the top layer of distributors and the Amway Corporation. They're the net winners, and then the 99% plus distributors are the net losers. And the two main issues are, number one, the tool scam, because this is not common knowledge. Most people, whether they're never been in Amway, are in Amway currently, or used to be in Amway, most people have no concept of the tool scam, that these people at the top of the chain within Amway and some other MLMs too, this is not kind of universal, but it is, it's not uncommon, I would say, that they're making more money, sometimes 10 times or more, from the tools than they are from the actual Amway business. And then most MLMs have a second problem, Amway has this too, where there's very little products being sold to non-distributors, in other words, customers, like you did with Electrolux years ago. People that have no interest in joining Electrolux, being a distributor, they just looked at your vacuums or any other MLM product and said, yeah, I think that's worth buying. And that's the end of the deal. It's like going to a Walmart or a Sears. You buy something and you leave. That's what a customer is. A distributor does the same thing. They buy the stuff, but it's not so much because it has value, because most MLM products are overpriced, which is why they can't sell many of them to customers, but because they're filled with this input from their upline that if they work hard enough and long enough, eventually they'll become filthy rich. That's the bottom line of most MLMs. And so the lack of retail sales and the tool scam is really the two major problems that I see. Not that MLM would be perfect without those issues. And by the way, in my view, no business is perfect. So I'm not trying to go for perfection here. But if we cleaned up those two issues in MLM, to me, it would at least be a legitimate business, in the main. There could be other issues that are lurking, but these are the two big ones. And I'm like you. I have hope that MLM can be done right. It's just that in most cases, from everything I've been able to determine, I can't find any. There could be one or two out there. And there's also pockets of distributors within many MLMs that are doing things right. But if the FTC came along and looked at the business overall, I'm afraid that those people that are doing it right would be shut down just like the people that are not doing things right, because the company wouldn't be there. You know, the company would be shut down, and no matter how you're doing things correctly, in other words, lots of retail sales and no tool scam, and I'm not against making money on tools, by the way, it's just that you have to let your downline and your prospects understand that you are making money and how much money you're making so that they can make an informed decision about those material facts rather than just hiding it and essentially lying by omission by hiding those material facts, which to me is business fraud. You know, if you don't tell your, let's say, McDonald's prospective franchisee that they're probably going to lose money in that location, then you're withholding a material business fact that they need to know. And if you don't disclose that, that's fraudulent, in my opinion. I'm not a lawyer, but it just seems on its face that that's fraud, not disclosing those kinds of basic facts. So that's what we do on this radio show. We're trying to help educate people so they don't have to do what I did, lose not only lots of money, but lots of years off of my life chasing a mirage, something that really didn't exist, and trying to fight through that and not realizing that it was virtually impossible. And I'm not saying it is impossible, because every once in a while somebody does pop out the other end. They hold them up as an example of, see, if one can do it, anyone can do it. And that's part of the shtick, to try to keep people in, is to show that occasional breakthrough person. But they're a very rare exception, generally, especially in Amway. You know, any kind of an established MLM like that that's kind of leveled out, you just don't see much of that going on. They do replace the attrition, generally, and there is a lot of attrition. So you do see some of these people coming through and making it, so to speak, to the higher levels. But it's just not very common, especially the higher up you go, the less uncommon it is. Now, if you have an MLM that's brand new, there's all kinds of growth. This really doesn't apply, because, you know, they're new and they're growing. So anyway, I'll ship it back to you, and we can get started. Any other comments you have, and we can get started on this past week's news.
Absolutely. So just, there's one more thing I was just remembering, you know, when we were talking about this, relative to the tool scam. One of the things that was also happening at the time when you got started with me is Herbalife. And if you were listening to Bill Ackman, who was a gentleman who was a hedge fund manager who really went to try to get the truth told about Herbalife, you would hear people say things like, I lost $30,000 on Herbalife, or I lost $50,000, or I lost my retirement in 10 months, and stuff like that. And you say, how in the world could you do that? How could you lose so much money in such a short period of time if the supervisor's position was $3,000 or $5,000 to get started with? And the answer is, well, they lost the $3,000 or the $5,000 on the inventory or whatever that cost to get started with them, or maybe qualify monthly at a certain level. But the rest of it came from the tools. So it was guys like Anthony Powell selling, you know, leads and systems and coaching, and this you had to buy and that you had to buy. And that's really where a lot of people lost a lot of money as well. So when you were talking about the tool scam, I just wanted to give credit back to you and unearthing a lot of that. And those kinds of things seem to have gone away mostly, but I'm sure they're still lurking at a less obvious level. So just one more thing just to kind of throw out there in your general direction, Scott, as well. But you can comment on that, and let's move into whatever stories you want to talk about this week.
Yeah, that sounds good. In fact, there was a fellow with Herbalife. This has been, when was this now? 2013, I believe it was. And you can go Google this if you're listening and you're thinking, gee, this guy's kind of nutso and crazy. You know, he's going way off the deep end here. But just Google the name John Peterson, P-E-T-E-R-S-O-N, John Peterson and Herbalife. And if you want to throw in the word suicide, you can. Because what happened was Herbalife, I believe it was in early 2013, which was just following the December 2012 presentation that Bill Ackman did. This was his 3 or 4 hour, 342-something slide PowerPoint presentation where he went into excruciating detail about what was going on in Herbalife, trying to make his case, you know, and his case was basically to the investing community because that's the world he lives in. So he's trying to throw out all these details. And very soon after that, early 2013, Herbalife said, man, this situation we have with these high-level Herbalife distributors selling names to their downline. They would sell a name and a phone number for literally somewhere in the neighborhood of $130. And the name and phone number that they sent, often the phone didn't ring because the people didn't answer it. Or if they answered it, they said, oh, I'm just kidding. I kind of responded to something online, but there was a site called businessforhome.com, I think, but I'm really not interested. So they just wasted $130. And it was just a total waste. I mean, they could have taken literally a dart and thrown it at the phone book and probably had better luck. Plus, it would only cost them a phone book and a dart. So you can throw a lot of darts at a lot of phone books for $130. But anyway, they came out with this announcement. They said, okay, no more of this stuff of selling names to your downline. And so they said, Herbalife said, within 6 months, we're going to give you 6 months, you got to phase it out. Well, right near the end of this six-month phase-out period, John Peterson was in the driveway. I think he was one of his homes in Colorado, and he literally blew his brains out with a revolver. And we don't know why. He didn't leave a note. But I believe because he was making so much of his money from these names and phone numbers that he just couldn't see his way out. He had so many financial obligations, and this is how he was financing those obligations, that his entire lifestyle would have fallen apart, and that's what he did. So, you know, this is serious stuff that we're talking about. Now, I'm not saddened that, you know, one of these crooks took themselves off the planet. Not that I wish death on anybody, but, you know, if somebody has to commit suicide, I'm glad it was somebody like him and not somebody that's just running a normal life and not ripping off thousands of people, maybe tens or hundreds of thousands of people over his career. This is big stuff. And, you know, you get into these situations where it just goes bonkers sometimes. And now I believe Herbalife still is not allowing these kinds of businesses to go on, but they're back to I believe, actually they're not back to it, I don't think it was ever stopped, where they're charging money for meetings. And the money that they're charging is similar to the money that Amway charges. And I'm talking about the Amway distributors, the top-level distributors. So I know they're making a lot of money on tools through the meetings and probably some other avenues. And I've heard in the past that some of these nutrition centers where distributors open up a, you know, kind of a store that doesn't have any signs out front, or they're not allowed to display any product. It's kind of like a private club. They also charge for meetings, and Herbalife put out a memo a couple years ago saying, not only are we getting rid of the whole contacting stuff, the names and the phone numbers, but we don't want you to make any money on anything as far as tools. And that has not been enforced. The meeting prices never came down, and I believe that they're back at charging money just to go to training sessions in their nutrition center. So, you know, a rule is only as good as it's enforced, and it's definitely not being enforced. So I guess the first thing, we're still trying to get Frank Parlato on the show, Peter. We talked about this right before the show. He's a busy guy. He's got a great site called frankreport.com, and Frank's been writing on this NXIVM. It's NXIVM is the spelling of it. And if you go to frankreport.com, you can learn all about it. Frank has all kinds of sources and you know, ways of finding out information. It's quite incredible what he's found out about this organization. The reason we've been talking about it is the founder of NXIVM, a guy by the name of Keith Raniere, is currently in jail on several charges of all kinds of stuff, sex with minors, human trafficking. I think there's going to be even more charges coming out pretty soon. Just all kinds of stuff that he's been apparently doing. But the reason I really got interested in NXIVM last fall was when this news came out that they were literally branding women and telling them, of course, the women volunteered for this, you know, quote unquote volunteered. They kind of got them, you know, juiced up in the mind to believe this was a good thing to do. But they also had them send embarrassing information to NXIVM, which they called collateral. And then they said, okay, now if you talk about this, we're going to disclose your collateral. So it's things like, you know, nude pictures and videos and salacious stories of their own past and all this stuff. So they pretty much blackmailed them to silence. But I found out just in looking at this stuff that old Keith Raniere actually got his start because NXIVM is an MLM. And ironically, I think they do have lots of retail sales to real customers. So the ironic thing about NXIVM is about the only thing that's not legitimate is the fact that I believe that's actually a legitimate MLM. But everything else is a rot to the core. And I only have one source so far. I'm looking forward to talking to Frank and some other people. But I had one source, and she was a girlfriend of Keith Raniere years ago, way before all this branding got started. In fact, I think it may have even been before NXIVM got started, or at least it was at the beginnings of it when it was much less weird. And she told me, oh, yeah, I was very close to Keith, and most of the people that bought the stuff were purely customers. They bought the package, the training, and they left, or they may have come back for another one, but it wasn't, you know, a bunch of NXIVM distributors selling to each other. It was actually customers. But he also started a company before NXIVM called Consumers Byline, which was shut down by, I think, several states. New York, I think, was the lead. But before that, guess what? People don't just start up MLMs. I mean, it's hard to think of a person that just goes out their front door one day and goes, hey, I think I'm going to start an MLM. It's just not something that occurs to people. So before Consumers Byline, he was in Amway. That's how he that's how he got his start in MLM was Amway. And then it progressed all the way through these other things. Now he's in jail and quite likely could be in prison. I think the trial is scheduled for October. That'll probably get delayed. It usually is. But I think he's going to be in prison for a very long time, maybe the rest of his life. He's already in his late 50s, and, you know, a 30 or 40-year sentence is pretty much a life sentence at this point for him. But anyway, I did talk to Frank earlier today, and he told me, man, I really want to be on your show, but I've got these deadlines, and I just have to keep the deadlines. And if you look at his website, the guy's prolific. I mean, he writes and writes and writes, and it's the point now where he put out an article recently where he's talking about how much his traffic has gone up on his website. So if you go to frankreport.com and look for a May 17th story, the deadline is stats for Frank Report, 1.9 million from January to mid-May of this year. And he actually goes through the stats over the previous couple years. And for the first couple years that he was doing this, he would typically get on the order of maybe the low thousands, like 2,000 or 3,000 visitors a month. And then in June, which I think is when he first started talking about this branding stuff on his website, it went from 3,000, it popped up to almost 80,000. And by the first couple months of this year, 2018, it's over 300,000. And in April, it was almost 1 million. And through mid-May, it's almost 500,000. So he's on target for April and May to have about 1 million, almost 1 million visitors per month, you know, which is incredible growth. And so I'm going to be patient. He has expressed interest, and I'm going to be patient. That's not my long suit in life, but I just see so much potential here when we get him on to do some kind of cross-pollinization between Nexium, which is becoming bigger and bigger news all the time, and he's the leading website, and the rest of the MLM scams. I see a huge amount of potential. And Peter, I'll let you make any other comments before I hog your entire show here.
No, it's going to be nice to have him on the radio show, even if he doesn't get on the radio show eventually. This, the idea of that we're able to talk about some of the things that he's done and some of the parallels between this and the network marketing industry are important, because the big product behind Nexium wasn't necessarily publicly the branding and the sex slaves. Those were all byproducts and other things that happened. It was the idea that they had ESP. It was the Executive Success Program. That was the hook. So that's how they lured people in. And then the vulnerable ones are the ones that were in tune towards the other weirds, is where they grabbed them from. So their basic bait, let's call it, was the ESP program, the Executive Success Program. And it lured in a lot of people. And this is the part where you said, you know, a lot of the times it was a legitimate sale. There was a lot of people interested in self-development. And some people just thought they were kind of goofy or eccentric, like Roger Stone. For those people that are unfamiliar with Roger Stone, he's kind of like a political person, and sometimes you'll often see him on Alex Jones, the gentleman who does InfoWars, and you'll see him. He's a Trump supporter for sure, but you'll see him, and he was a consultant for them for a very short time, and this gentleman, Frank Parlata, worked for them for a while, and then all of a sudden all this weird stuff started happening. So there's a lot of similarities between this and then the MLM world. But the cool thing about it is they really – The big bait was the concept of always self-development. And I hear a lot about that in reference to the stuff in the conference calls that I listen to on MLM conference calls and webinars all the time. For some reason, they're just into the delusion that MLM is a big self-development program. I've even heard people say it's a self-development program with a product, or the real product is self-development. I'm like, you guys are really weird. Like, you guys are really weird. It's a front for many people for manipulation. Now, do you do self-development in the process? Of course. I stayed with Electrolux, the vacuum cleaner company, for a real long time because I was able to apply the principles of the self-development towards a trade. So there was the application of the self-development, but it wasn't a self-development program standing alone by itself. That's just weird. So anybody who hasn't made that connection yet is just different thinking than some of the stuff that I have going on. So that's the hook. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that just get hooked into that. And one of the articles that Frank had written was the concept of, I forget if he even called it the Ranieri system, was you got to keep them in debt by constantly getting them to go to these next functions. Keep them in debt, keep them in debt, keep them in debt. So you show them how to make a little bit of money. Now, the Ranieri people, they gave them low-wage jobs or gave them functions that they had to do to kind of work their way out of it. But always make sure you're keeping them in debt. And that's what a lot of the MLM companies do, whether they realize it or not, by design or by default. They're constantly keeping you going to the next event. And I remember with Amway specifically, they would always say, don't quit your full-time job. Don't quit your full-time job. Don't quit your full-time job. And they would say until your income is, you know, two times the amount or whatever it might be for a period of time. But the real reason why it was don't quit your full-time job was because then you couldn't buy the cassettes or then you couldn't come to the next function because you're not going to make any money here. So don't quit your full-time job. And they just never really let that on. And those are some of the similarities that I think our radio shows try to point out, Scott, so people can say, well, does this apply here with me and my position, and then make decisions accordingly. So back to you.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because the whole focus of Amway's tool scam, as far as how it's directed to the people buying into it, is self-development. Hey, you're going to become a better person, you're going to be more relatable, and therefore your business will prosper, but first you have to improve yourself. And that's what all these tools are for, is to help you improve yourself. And certainly in my case, and I think in many cases, you know, I knew I was losing money every year, but I figured, gee, I'm getting more and more developed. And I really don't want to walk away from it because I've invested so much into it. If I walk away now, it's basically throwing away money. So why not spend a little bit more time and a little bit more effort and a little bit more money to get the payoff, so that I can get all this money back and then some, you know, from my Amway business, not even knowing that I was going to get it back from the tool scam. If I was going to succeed, that's where the money really would have come from, most of it. I didn't even know that. I thought, gee, I just need to get a bigger Amway business, then I can get all this back and then a lot more. There's definitely a lot of sort of psychological pressure to keep going, and that article that he had is exactly in line with the whole thinking of Amway's tool scam, is, you know, keep them desperate, keep them so they don't want to get out, and they'll just stay in longer and you'll make more money. That's sort of the name of the game. So, and you mentioned Roger Stone earlier, and Frank actually has an article that talks about Roger Stone and how he was there just before Frank Parlato joined for a few months. I think Roger was only there for like 2 months, and then I think Frank was there for about 6 months before he said, this is just too weird. And this is way before all the branding stuff that came out. This is years before all that. So, there's a May 17th article. The headline is Roger Stone had role in taking Nexium down, was never in cult. it's really interesting stuff, and we will get Frank on here one day. I can tell you he wants to be on the show. He just has so many irons in the fire, and I can't blame him for the amount of eyeballs he's getting on his website now. I told him earlier today, don't let your foot off the gas. Keep it going, because, you know, Your website is zooming vertically, and that's only going to help me down the road and you, Peter, with this radio show.
Absolutely.
It's all a win-win all together. So as much as I want them on here, and I really do, we need to bide our time. So so where do we start this week? I guess we can go to our favorite website, behindmlm.com. For people that are not regular listeners, or maybe you're a new listener, behindmlm.com is run by I think it's a couple people that are very good at researching news in the MLM world, and they really do a terrific job. That's why we use their website. And the first article at the very top of the page today, it's actually dated May 19th, 2018. The headline is Holiday Break, dot, dot, dot. So I guess for the first time in 4 years, he's going to take a break, but he's going to be back Wednesday. So it's not a long break. You know, by this time next Saturday, I'm sure we'll have some new articles. But he is taking a few days off of his interest here in talking about MLMs. The next article that I found interesting was it's dated May 17th, 2018, and the title is NHT Global Review, Pay-to-Play Vaginal Lubrication. So apparently one of the products that this NHT Global has is a feminine lubrication product. We'll just leave it at that. But they also do a lot of other things like, I think, like vitamins and skin and herbal stuff and, you know, all kinds of what I would consider a typical MLM array of products. But what really interested me in this article was I'm reading it, and the first sentence says, NHT Global was launched in 2001 by founder Terry LaCour as Lexus International. And that Terry LaCour name stuck in my head because he also runs or used to run a company that is physically located near me here in North Texas. It's Melissa, Texas, which is just north of Dallas in this area of North Texas. And he ran or still does run a company by the name of B-Hip, which I'm trying to remember what kind of products they have. It really doesn't matter too much the type of products. But anyway, he if you hear the dog barking, anytime
it's okay.
Something moves out, she barks. So, sorry
usually
about that.
It's my
anyway,
dog. Today it's yours. That's fine.
Yeah. B-Hip would be almost like any other MLM that happens to be located close to me geographically. There's many others here in the Dallas area. But it holds real distinction because several years ago, it was right after the time frame that Amway sued me, they also sued B-Hip. And the reason they sued B-Hip was because one of Amway's big kahuna distributors left Amway, joined B-Hip, and apparently got some people that they knew from Amway to leave Amway and join B-Hip, which is against Amway's rules. And so Amway sued them. And this went to a jury trial. Thankfully, it went all the way through, and the jury in Texas told Amway, "You lose. This is too harsh of a requirement. It's not, you know, enforceable. It's just going overboard as far as requiring people to not talk to people that they know from their previous MLM." So this little tiny MLM company, B-Hip, slayed the Amway dragon, so to speak, metaphorically. And so that's how I found that this story was interesting to me. And all this story on behind MLM is just kind of a generic story about this other company, NHT Global. But just a little bit of history lesson for people that when they read Terry LaCour, it's just another name to them. It's a lot more to me, because I've been doing this for a while, and it just sparked a memory in my mind. So I'll let you make any other comment on that, and then we can move on.
I don't know anything about him, although I remember when I was with the ANMP, there were several people that used to use his name as if he was a gentleman that had a lot of influence and a lot of money. So he had a pretty big following, I think, amongst the people that were looking for, you know, to be consultants and stuff along that line. So I don't know. But the product line, Lexus, I think I remember, and I was always kind of curious, and I won't throw their names of the people under the bus, but there's some people that are widely respected in the MLM world that were pushing and promoting that company. which is, and I'm, who am I to say it's a, you know, whatever, like a KY jelly product, I guess. Not necessarily the type of thing, might as well be selling sex toys as well, which, by the way, there are MLMs that are selling those types of things, which would make very interesting parties. So one of these days, Scott, we really want to have some fun. We want to get back into it. Maybe that's in the direction that we'll generally go with our wives' permission, perhaps. But anyway, there's some other things that are happening in the MLM world. One of them I threw in your general direction, but I never researched it on my own. So I don't know if you did, and maybe we'll just bring it back next week. And that was the idea of, remember the Herbalife lawsuit where they were trying to get it either moved or dismissed? So I don't remember what it was. I threw it in your general direction. I was remembering it when I was thinking about topics here. But there was a lawsuit, I think it was a class action lawsuit, that looked like it was getting some steam even further with what was going on with Herbalife. Do you recall, or did you research that one at all?
Yeah, I do recall. I think where it's at, and this is a class action lawsuit in Florida, and Herbalife is trying to move it to Southern California, which is where they are based. And that's where it is right now, I think. I think that Herbalife asked the court to move it to California. I think the people that started the class action lawsuit came back and said, well, this isn't just about Herbalife. It's really about the tool scam, if you will. They don't use those terms in Herbalife, but you know, that's our generic term for it. And therefore, Herbalife doesn't really own the location, so to speak, because all of these alleged crimes occurred in Florida, which is where the distributors, or a lot of them that are starting this, are based. And so I think it's still up to the court now to decide if it's going to stay in Florida or move to Southern California. That's the last I've heard of it. But it's an interesting class action lawsuit that does appear to be moving forward. I mean, it does look like it's, hopefully it's going to keep moving forward and not get settled out of court like we've seen so many times. And typically when you settle out of court, both sides are required to be quiet, you know, and not say anything as far as what happened or disclose any evidence that was uncovered maybe during discovery. Those kinds of things, they're all kind of hush-hush, and everybody, you know, is required to be quiet about it. Which, by the way, in my lawsuit, in my settlement with Amway, I insisted on the settlement not being private, and it's on my website right now. You can read it, and I was very strong in that requirement. If I'm going to settle with you guys, this settlement is not going to be secret. It's going to be disclosed, and I've put it right out front. So that's what I recall about that, Peter. I'll give it back to you.
There we go. Yeah, I'll research a little bit more because there was some meat to it that looked like it was going to get some traction going, at least for more conversations about some of the issues that were going on. There was one article that I just wanted to kind of bring to people's attention from another website that we use for reference. BehindMLM.com is a really good website, but they're anti-MLM. And a lot of the comments are many times anti-MLM, and that by itself aren't bad, but just it's always anti-MLM, just like Fox News is always anti-Democrat or CNN is always anti-Republican. So you just got to know when you're going there. But if you go to TINA.org, TINA stands for truthinadvertising.org, they're a little bit more balanced, let's say, and just more to the facts without the slamming, like the National Enquirer kind of slamming. And they just had a couple of articles about a class action lawsuit about a company I don't really know anything about. It's spelled M-O-N-A-T. So I guess it would be Monet Global. And they're a hair care company, and they're getting whacked pretty hard for things like hidden ingredients, all the other types of things as far as a pyramid scheme, and other types of issues. So I don't know enough about it to really – it never really came across my radar screen. But if you want to go take a look at it, at least you can go show or go look at yourself. It's on TINA, T-I-N-A, .org, and you'll see it there. They have it in the headlines. It may or may not be there by the time you go there as far as the headlines, but they usually keep the articles up there. And, again, it was M-O-N-A-T Global. So back to you, Scott.
Yeah, Peter, if you go to TINA.org, or you can even spell out truthinadvertising.org, either way will get you to the same website. At the top there's a search bar, and if you just type in M-O-N-A-T, You'll get the articles pop up. There's one from just a couple days ago, May 16th. It says hair care products from Monet Global was transferred to federal court. A day earlier, Monet Global class actions piling up. So I guess they're getting multiple lawsuits. And there's, you know, like I guess about four articles here. I've seen a little bit of this on Twitter. I don't know much about it, but I know, you know, of course, the distributors are saying this is the greatest hair care products ever. And then apparently there's other people that don't quite have that same opinion. So that's the source, I guess, of the class action lawsuits with that company. And I agree with you. Truth in Advertising really does take the most fact-based positions on things and really doesn't have an agenda, if you will. They just come out and – now, they're very anti-MLM from the standpoint of if you don't have a lot of retail sales, they're very anti-MLM. But I think all of us agree that that's a true statement, notwithstanding the bill in Congress right now. I think it's H.R. 3409 that is trying to really wipe out illegal pyramids from the standpoint of they're literally redefining an illegal pyramid as a legal pyramid, because what the legislature basically does is says, well, you don't have to have any retail sales as long as you have a return policy, which is, you know, breathtaking in its stupidity to me. But anyway, yeah, if you want to look at that, it's if you just do a Google search for H.R. 3409, you can read more about that bill. And I'm trying like the Dickens to talk to my my representative. In fact, just this past week, the guy I was working with, actually I was not working with because he hasn't been returning my calls and emails since last October, I just found out he got a new job. So now I have a new contact within the office to try to make some headway with that issue, because there's been, I think it's up to about 43 or 44 representatives that have signed up to this bill. You know, they've supported it, and it hasn't gone out of committee yet, so it's got a long ways to go. It's just scary that something that's this bad has even gotten this far, and it really should be, there should be a bill, there should be a federal law. Right now, there is not a federal law regulating or defining an illegal pyramid, but it needs to be pretty much the exact opposite of what's in this bill. It needs to say, for example, you got to have at least as many sales to non-distributors as you do distributors, or you're an illegal pyramid. It's that simple. But anyway, I'll get off my high horse and give it back to you.
That's it. So I don't think there was anything there was a few articles about OneCoin, our favorite topic relative to cryptocurrency or alleged cryptocurrencies. There were 119 people, I think, arrested in China. So the hammer's coming down for some people, and they're still growing somewhere in the more obscure countries, but they're still out there as well. Then there was an article in the Wall Street Journal that they did a research on ICOs. So not necessarily anything to do with MLM, but just ICOs in general. And they found hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ICOs that were either downright frauds or doing fraudulent things that would be considered illegal based on these terms that we have right now. So some of them were just like plagiarized sites and fake photos and all that sort of stuff, even fake addresses, to stuff that was, you know, questionable at best. But watch out, or let the buyer beware. There's a lot of anything related in an ICO is really suspect and probably not legal based on many of the things that have been put out there. So back to you, Scott.
Yeah, that's a good point, Peter, because I know that we've seen in the past articles on BehindMLM.com where, you know, this new, whether it's cryptocurrency or it's an MLM or whatever, they'll be promoting themselves. And what the BehindMLM.com people do is they go and look at those photos and they figure out that these are stock photos, you know, that you can just lift off the internet. And so it says, well, here's our owner. Well, that is not really the owner. That's really a stock photo off the internet. But they make it look like that's the owner because, well, there's a guy on his face and, you know, here's a real person, but it's actually completely fake. You know, it's fake news.
Yeah.
I guess is the is the current word. And your reference to the OneCoin story, if you go to BehindMLM.com on May 16, 2018, the headline is 119 OneCoin arrests in China, $7.1 million of Greenwood's funds frozen. I didn't read that article. I'm not sure if that's Lee Greenwood or somebody. Oh, Sebastian Greenwood. Excuse me. I guess he got some money froze. And then right above that is a headline that says, mass Bitcoin CEO's bodyguards gunned down in Mexico, which to me isn't really news in Mexico. They were probably just mistaken for being drug runners or something. That's kind of the Mexican national symbol as a gun, I guess. Go ahead.
Yeah. So what happened was, like, in reference to that article, there were two bodyguards that were killed. They were in a separate car, and they were killed, and they wound up confiscating the car of the owner of the company based on the bullet holes they had seen. But OneCoin founder, Dr. Ruja, is using death threats as one of the reasons why she's not been publicly seen recently. So these types of things help OneCoin one way or another in a weird, twisted way, try to keep the top people somewhat hidden from public view, because they use these things as excuses, like we're getting death threats and things like that. So they'll say things like, see, those two guys had their bodyguards killed. So that's why we're not holding meetings or showing up in public or telling you where we are. But buy more OneCoin, you know, invest more OneCoin, even though you can't withdraw anything. It's going to be great. And that's what's been happening with them. So back to you.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of people that have lost a lot of money to OneCoin and many other MLMs, but particularly OneCoin, you know, and there's a lot of evil people out there. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all that they're actually getting death threats, because, you know, you scam enough people, you're going to find one that's going to take it very personally and violently. And that's just the numbers, you know, that's just the way the world turns around. So, very true. Another company that I think it's been out there for quite a while, Doobly, whatever pronunciation. They I guess they I forgot that they had changed their name to Minto, but the headline is Minto in parentheses Doobly to delist itself from NASDAQ, and it says it's voluntarily delisting itself, and it says that the official reason is ongoing non-compliance with regulatory filing requirements. So I guess that's not too good a news for them in their world. I guess that's most of what I kind of saw out here this past week, Peter, unless there's something else. I did have one more quick comment, and it goes all the way back to Frank Parlato and Nexium and the FBI. I saw an interesting, I think it was a charge sheet, you know, where the FBI says this is what we're finding, and this is why, you know, Mr. Judge, we want you to keep Keith Raniere in jail until the trial. And they use these two words, and again, this is the FBI's language. They use the words technology and tools in describing Nexium's educational products. And it kind of piqued my interest, those two words, because Nexium is kind of similar to Scientology. It's sort of this mystic, quasi-religious, but not really religious thinking pattern, if you will. And Scientology also calls their knowledge, or whatever you want to call it, their point of view, they call it technology. You know, so it's not like a computer or, you know, an airplane type technology. It's just ideas and writings, but they both refer to them as technology. And then, of course, the FBI also used the word tools, you know, which we've been using for years here as the tool scam. And tools are just the common generic name within Amway that everybody uses, not the scam part, but the tools. You know, this is our tools, blah, blah, blah. And it's interesting that the FBI used those two particular words in their charge sheet against Nexium. So I just would throw that out there as a random thought, and I'll give it back to you. And if you want to make any other comment or shut us down for the week, whatever you'd like to do, it's your show.
I think we're just about done. So there wasn't a whole bunch of really earth-shattering things that happened, but certainly things that were just worth paying some attention to. So on that note, Scott, I think we're done. So thanks, everybody, for being here. If you're listening in live, thanks for listening into the archived audios. Go to check out Scott's website, stoptheamwaytoolscan.wordpress.com or allmlmfacts.org. And part of the reasons why there's not a whole bunch of things to talk about is some of our best content providers must have lawyered up. So Trayvon James doesn't do videos anymore, and neither does Craig Grant from BitConnect. And even the Ponzi Slayer guy, they're not doing videos anymore. And all the people that used to do things from USI Tech, they're not doing videos anymore. So for whatever reason, a lot of these things have taken their course. So all the scams that are out there don't have a lot of people that are doing videos for whatever reason. But there's still a lot of stuff going on, of course, with ICOs. So just watch out if you're an MLM company and they're trying to pitch you on doing something with cryptocurrencies or ICOs. But the buyer beware, because the odds are against you in many of those directions. So on that note, we're done. Thanks, Web Guy, or thanks, Scott Johnson. Make sure you check him out, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks, everybody. Bye for now.
Thanks, Peter. Take care.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.